Saturday Live with Carol Dooley on Dublin's new place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8.
This is Saturday Live. I'm Carol Dooley, and you might recall a couple of months back we spoke to a lady, Linda Colliton, who very bravely shared her story with us on her anxiety, acute OCD and depression, and how she cured herself through the use of Kundalini yoga and breathing techniques without medication. Now, we got a huge response that day, so I decided I wanted to follow this up. Unbeknownst to me, on that afternoon when we spoke to Linda, Clontarf resident Colm Hanratty was also listening, and Colm too had been suffering acute OCD and anxiety with alcohol dependency thrown in there into the mix just for good measure. And Colm decided to give Linda a call and totally changed his life around. So I'm delighted to welcome Colm here this afternoon. Colm, thank you very much for coming in. Brave of you to come and share your story. We'll talk about what happened as a result of the conversation I had with Linda a couple of months back soon. But first, take us back, because you were, tell us, what were your challenges? What were you dealing with?
I've been suffering from anxiety, OCD and depression, which the three of them kind of run basically hand in hand.
How long have you been
34
suffering?
34 years.
Have you really?
Yeah.
And how have you been dealing with that?
I didn't deal with it very well at all when it. I was 23 when it started.
Was there anything particular that triggered it for you?
There was, yeah. There was a particular thing at the time that triggered it. That went from a complete and total acute anxiety, severe anxiety, to the OCD. The OCD started, the intrusive thoughts all followed.
And how did the OCD manifest itself with you? Because with Linda, when we were discussing it before, you had said that you wanted to hurt your family.
Yeah, well, it was intrusive thoughts for me. Yeah.
And in your case, Colm?
Yeah, very similar, it's kind of multifaceted insofar as that it wasn't just one or two intrusive thoughts. It could be a number of intrusive thoughts. Some were stronger than others.
And what were the thoughts?
Well, for instance, I also had this thing of harming people close to me who I loved. The very thought of it sent me into complete and total anxious state. Can I just say it to you in an overall perspective? I would think that I am a reasonably spiritual person. I have a reasonably good faith, but thoughts that would be very, very negative in relation to, you know, if you believe in God and stuff like that, cursing and all that type of stuff, where there would be thoughts that were just words that would come into my
head. Odds with your faith. And how you felt you should be behaving to reflect your faith.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And that sent me into even more anxiety.
Yeah.
Then I would become completely sensitized. You were asking me there about what was the trigger. The trigger for me at the time was the fear of AIDS.
And where did that come from?
at the time, my lifestyle. I was in a situation where I was drinking an awful lot. Well, I was in my early 20s, so a lot
so
of...
So you were out partying,
I was
basically.
Partying,
right.
But
okay.
I was a serious party person. And so it emanated from there, to be honest. I will always remember. There was an article about 4 inches long in a newspaper in 1982, 83, about the first person who was diagnosed with AIDS. And I was reading this and I was going, oh, no, yeah. And there was no cure for it, as I'm sure you're aware, at the time.
Yeah.
No way of testing for it or anything like that.
Oh, it was a death sentence, wasn't it? I mean, that
was
how
death
it was
sentence.
Portrayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like a magnet. I took this in and I started to brood incredibly badly. Brood and think over and over and over and over. And
thinking that because of your lifestyle,
yes,
you might have contracted the
yes,
disease. Did
correct.
You go to the doctor to get a test?
Eventually I did, but I didn't what I did do was I turned to drink. I was never diagnosed as an alcoholic, but personally, I would think that I wasn't far off it. And I did that for 7 years, told nobody. And at that time, I was getting the physical feelings, the emotional feelings. I didn't know what was happening to me. I actually thought at one stage that I was going mad.
And I remember, Linda, you said the same thing. Do you remember we were talking about this?
Youth hall, and I'm going crazy.
And there was no outward sign of, say, clinics and all that type of stuff. They were all in behind closed doors at that time in the hospitals. So I had to actually seek out being pretty frightened about it now.
What made you decide to do that? Because you said that your initial reaction was to turn and pick up the bottle. So what made you decide then, do you know what, I need to actually go and get this checked?
I need to get this checked because I needed some kind of finality. My head was bursting. I couldn't sleep. I was drinking at night time. I was drinking not too much during the day, but I was drinking every day. Now, I was able to roll it into a social thing. Nobody knew any different except for my wife, to be honest.
That would strain on your marriage.
It did. Yeah, it did. Yeah, for a couple of years. And then we had our first child in 1986. And, you know, I had the thoughts of harming him.
Which must have scared the life out of you.
Absolutely scared the living daylights out of me. And then I had the thoughts of harming my mother, who I was very close to. The sheer thought of that, just as you say, scared the living daylight. So it just manifested itself and just got worse and worse and worse. And to be honest, I did go for checking out eventually, and I went to the old Dr. Stevens Hospital, and you had to go down a dark alleyway, and you kind of went in and you put your head down and you sat in a waiting room, and you know, you didn't say anything to anybody, and it was all kind of behind closed doors.
And did your wife know you had these thoughts of potentially harming your child?
I eventually told her.
And what was her reaction?
She laughed.
Because?
Because she just thought it was so ludicrous and so bizarre. Basically, told her everything, all the different thoughts that I would have. She didn't understand. She just thought it was so ridiculous.
I think a lot of us would have reacted the same way.
Of course.
Basically, because we don't really understand, because it's very difficult to understand that. Mm. But I would suspect, because obviously you're still married.
Yes.
And still together.
Yes.
And your life is coming back again. I would suspect that you probably couldn't even have gotten to this stage now without the support of your wife. That when she realised, you know what, this is something very serious going on, she must have stepped up to the table for you.
She did. Absolutely. And without her, I don't know where I'd be. She has been by my side through thick and thin, through the good times and the bad times, but really the bad times.
You must have had to pluck up a lot of courage to tell your wife that this is what was going on in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, I think the whole thing of OCD, particularly anxiety and depression, you have to, in order to get yourself into a path of some sort of recovery, you have to summon that courage, that inner courage that I think we all have, and determination. And that's one thing that I can say about Linda, when I, you know, is her sheer determination to deal and get over the problem just gave me that further inspiration.
Just going back to the ACE thing, because you said you did go and have a test.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that the test was negative.
Well, you see, the first time I went, they didn't have a test. The actual words I will never forget, and it wasn't my family doctor, by the way, I wouldn't go to my family doctor because I was too ashamed.
Yeah.
The doctor I went to said to me, oh, but sure, you know there's no test for that. And I said, well, I do know, but is there anything you can tell me? You know, and he said, well, sure, look, you can go out tomorrow and get knocked down by a bus.
That actually
destroyed me. Eventually, as the years went on and suffering through this and never knowing quite whether I did or whether I didn't. So I had this going on for 10, 12 years. And eventually they came up with a test. And I then went to my own GP, who is my angel. And he sent me for a test in UCD. And he came back and he waved in the air. A smile on his face.
And did that make any difference? When you knew that you were HIV negative, did that make any difference to you at that point?
For about 24 hours.
And then what happened?
And then other things started to... And I was back thinking about something else. See, the trigger had done its job and I was caught in this constant, serious thing. And it brought on quite severe depression.
Saturday Live with Carol Dooley on Dublin's new place to relax. Sunshine 106.8. Saturday Live with Carol Dooley on Dublin's new place to relax. Sunshine.
106.8. Still joined by Colm Hanratty from Clontarf, who has very bravely come to share his story, his battle with anxiety, OCD, depression, alcohol dependency, and how he's managed to turn that around as a result of a conversation we had here on Saturday Live a couple of months ago with Linda Culleton. And Linda is still with us as well. Colm, we were chatting there and you told me that your mum... Well, first of all, your father died when you were young, and then your mum, who had also suffered from depression, she was the one who encouraged you to go and get some help. So you went to see the doctor and he put you on some medication. So talk to us about that. How did that help you?
The medication worked very well. I was very good for about the next 6 years. I stopped drinking and I got myself to a stage where I was operating on a kind of a 80% of my full
faculties. But not totally. But possibly the fact, Colm, as I mentioned, your mum suffered with depression. I know that your dad died when you were little too. So you never know how this, I mean, Linda, you'll understand this.
Of course,
you never
yeah.
know how these things no. have an effect on you. And they do say depression is hereditary anyway.
Yeah, they do. And stress in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you went and you went to the doctor, you got medication.
Yes.
And that helped to a point.
It definitely worked for me to a point, but it never quite went away. It was always, and again in the class we say that, it's always kind of lurking at the back in the background.
Well, I guess, you know, you look at, if you suffer even from any kind of addiction, say you're an alcoholic
yeah.
or a drug addict, you might be going to AA.
Yeah.
You might be sober for 20 years, but it's still always there with you.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah.
never really get away from it. So
yes,
I can't even imagine, Colm, how difficult your life must have been for you to walk in your shoes. I think you're extremely brave to come and talk about it.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us about the day then when Linda was here talking about how she overcame her OCD and anxiety
yeah.
with Kundalini yoga.
Mm.
You were listening.
Well, I was listening. And to be honest, I thought this was fate as far as I was concerned. I said, this has happened for a reason. I got a bad bout about this time last year. And again, I was back in a situation where it was really bad. Medication wasn't exactly doing anything. I had been back drinking. I was careful for a number of years, but I'd have a few. Again, you talk about addiction and I can't go out and have one or two. So I had been on a few very heavy nights.
Benders.
That's exactly what they were. And I knew I could feel it coming on and I could feel the cloud coming down. And then all the thoughts were coming back into me and I just went down and down. So I got to a stage where I was back to my doctor. He was back seeing me once a week, once every 2 weeks, still on medication, increased the medication somewhat. And I was beginning to come out of it, but was still very, very sensitized. And I was kind of numb with, you know, all the emotions and everything. And as I said, I was coming back from a football match and I was sitting in the car and Linda came on your show. And it started off and I was, you know, 1 or 2 minutes. And then suddenly I said, this is what I have. This is exactly what I have. So I thought the same as what you were saying there. I thought she was fantastic. The courage to get on the radio and do that to me was absolutely terrific.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I said, if there's one thing I do, only one thing I do is ring Linda. I didn't know what to expect, obviously, but I rang and she was brilliant on the phone. And I went to a class the following Wednesday, and then Linda said that she was forming this group for the OCD, and I said, well, I'm in, like, you know, please. So very determined to get into it. So that started 8 or 9 weeks ago.
It's our 10th week.
So when you went to your first class, okay. I mean, obviously you didn't know what to expect.
No.
And I wouldn't know what to expect either.
So first of all, Colm came to just a general Kundalini yoga class.
That's right, yeah.
But then I was doing an information session just for people to give them, you know, general background of me and so on. So he came to that, and then you could sign up to the 12-week program if you felt like it was something you'd be interested in.
And did you feel from the get-go, Colm, when you met Linda and when you did the first class, did you think, you know what, I think this might work for me?
Yeah, with a certain amount of trepidation, but I was saying, this is what I've been looking for all my life. The medical end of it and the doctor's end of it was terrific for me and is terrific for me to a certain point. But I felt I needed something extra. This is not particularly easy, There's a number of breathing exercises that we do for anxiety, and then there's other, there is a specific one for OCD. And I am finding, as are the group, the breathing exercises are, they are terrific. They just seem to clear the mind, make you so much stronger, like on a normal level. I haven't felt as well since basically prior to 34 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing. So, Colm, you go to the classes now every week. They're every Wednesday night, Linda. Is that right?
So still in our team? Now, Wednesday night is just for the public, like just a general yoga class. The
OCD That's Kundalini program, yoga.
Yeah, it's just a general, you know, public class, open to public. The OCD program is, it's a 12-week program. So once you start, you know, it's not a drop-in.
Sometimes it takes a while, though, doesn't it? Just pluck up the courage to say, you know what, I'm going to do this.
I definitely agree. There obviously be people out there exactly like me that would have the guilt or the ashamed or think they're going to, somebody's going to throw away the key. You know, it's very prevalent out there as far as I can see now. And it's just very, very important that more and more people realise that there is help out there.
I think it's needed as well. You know, as much as they might think they're on their own, they're definitely not. There is so many people out there that are suffering with certain mental health illnesses and physical illnesses, and that if people come together, that support can be key to recovery.
So, Linda, let me just ask you, the course is 12 weeks. What happens then?
Yeah, so the program is a 12-week program, and then after that, there will be a monthly drop-in kind of support group, and that can go up to a year or 2 years, whatever the person needs. There's no deadline. The objective of this then is, as more and more people come through the program, that the support group will obviously grow and people will get to know people in different programs that come through it, for to build connection and to build. You know, we always have things in common with people that we've been through certain things with, so it's good to build this support group out there to know that there is people that went through this and also have come through with positive change.
Linda, if anybody needs any more information, they can contact you.
They can contact me. My number is 087-0629-703. 087-0629-703. And I am starting up a programme again for OCD. It's going to be Tuesday the 4th of October in Artane Recreational Centre over near Beaumont. I also am running a class for anxiety, which will be on Thursday nights. So if anyone wants to get in contact with me regarding that, just give me a call.
Linda, thank you very much for coming in again. Pleasure to have you back. Colm, I have to say, I take my hat off to you.
I applaud
you for coming in and sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
Colm Hanratty, originally from Howth, now living in Clontarf, so you stayed in the area anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
A pleasure, and I wish you all the very best. Obviously, things are coming together for you now.
Absolutely,
In a way that you probably couldn't have thought possible at one point.
No, there were many days, weeks, when I thought I would never be able to get out of the black hole.
Yeah. So for anybody listening, Colm, who is in this black hole, what would you say?
Oh, reach out, please. Just engage, contact, speak to people, speak to somebody in the family, and just make yourself determined that you are going to get help. There's nothing to be ashamed of in getting help.
And it can save your life.
And it can save your life. Absolutely.
Lindy, must be delighted. Congratulations
thank
to you,
you very
too.
Much.
It's great work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And thank you both very much for
thank
joining
you very
us today.
Much.
Pleasure.
Thanks
thank you.
Me.
Linda also organises a series of retreats as well to help awake retreats on Facebook. You can get some information about that. And if you need any more information, just get in touch with us here. SaturdayLive@sunshineradio.ie is our email, and we'll put you in touch.
Saturday Live with Carol Dooley on Dublin's new place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8.